If you have your Bible with you, go ahead and turn to Proverbs 31, please. Proverbs 31 is where we're going to be today. I'm very thankful for such a church. That worship time was amazing. Thank you guys very, very much. That second song, especially, wow, it was really good. I sometimes take for granted the fact that we have such a healthy, vibrant church full of people that really love the Lord and are committed to Him. I'm really thankful to be a part of this church. I hope you are too. It's really a blessing. Being on the mission field for 5.5 years and being in some churches that, well, basically, when you're a missionary, you're going there because they need help. And so there's not a lot of churches that were healthy. So I can recall coming back to the States and getting to worship again. You're just almost in tears every Sunday because it's so good. So thank you, church. The last 2 weeks, as you recall, we were talking about mighty men and what it means to be that. This Sunday, I wanted to now focus on women. And so what does it mean to be an excellent woman is what we're going to be talking about today. Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31 is where we're going to be. When you think about the excellent woman, some translations say, in the NIV, I think it begins this portion of Scripture saying the noble woman. I think if you have the New King James, it's going to say the virtuous woman. But I'll be preaching from the English Standard Version, the ESV, and it says the excellent woman. And so that's where I get this title from. And so when you think about the excellent woman or the noble woman, you probably go to Proverbs 31, which is where we're going to go to. And then from there, we're actually going to look at different portions of Scripture where we see different women in the Scripture who characterize these traits. Now, let me say this before we start. I know that this portion of Scripture can be overwhelming for you women because you read it and you see this woman who is darn near perfect, right? She's got it all together. She's better than Wonder Woman, basically. I mean, except she's not bulletproof. I mean, but almost everything else. And so that can be overwhelming for you, and I get that. Okay, a brother and I recently were talking about this very popular speaker who was going to be coming to Birmingham, and he said, part of me doesn't want to go hear him speak because I'm going to feel so like a loser because this guy has it all together. He's a spokesman for this is what you need to be a great husband, this is what you need to be a great father, and so you sit under that teaching and you're like, gosh, I am miles away from that. So I want to say to you women, take away one thing, okay? Take away just one thing from this message. Don't try to be everything like this woman. Just try to do one thing better, okay? So just go into that, go into this. Okay, whatever God's speaking to me about during this message, I'm going to try to improve in this one area. Okay? Fair enough? All right. Well, let's get into the text here. And if you don't mind, stand with me at the reading of God's Word. That was a custom that we see throughout the Old Testament, especially. So let's honor the reading of the Word of God. Proverbs 31, and I'll be starting in verse 10 through the end of the chapter. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hand to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. This is the word of God. You can be seated. Would you bow with me? Lord, give us grace, as we just sang, to trust what you say. Lord, this is your word. You've inspired it. Help us to believe it. Help us to live it. Give grace to our women, Lord, to be women that please you. And as our text says here, women who fear the Lord, they are to be praised. Lord, give us grace and help us in this time. Help me to preach well. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would be pleased to take truth into the hearts of the hearers. We pray this in your Son's perfect name. Amen. So the excellent woman. Now this text starts out saying that an excellent wife who can find. So you single ladies in the crowd, don't then say, well, this doesn't apply to me. I'm going to get on my iPhone now and play Angry Birds. This does apply to women in general. It says an excellent wife, yes, but you single ladies, widows, this has principles for you as well. This is for all of you women. And so please don't discount yourself from this text because you're not a wife. As you'll see, a lot of this poem, and it is a poem, the way it's written in the original Hebrew, it's interesting, actually. It's got 21 different verses. I mean, 22, rather. It's got 22 different verses. Why? Well, there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and every single one of these verses starts with the consecutive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It would be like me writing a poem. The first line started with A, the second line started with B, third line C, etc. So in the original language, it's really beautiful too, how the author wrote it. But don't read this poem and say, this doesn't apply to me. It does apply to you. So let's get into it and see. So we start off with, first of all, the first three verses, 10, 11, and 12, talk about this woman's relationship with her husband. We're also going to see verse 23 and verse 28 also talk about her relationship with her husband. But let's look at them. It says, an excellent wife who can find. So she's rare. She's far more precious than jewels. She's valuable. So we start off with that, first of all. And we know that. We know that a true God-fearing, noble, virtuous woman is rare. You women are rare. Just watch TV, walk around, listen to how people talk. There's not a lot of you, and we wish there were more. And hopefully this sermon will help you be even better. But this text is right. Thousands of years ago when this was written, they were rare then. And you're still rare and very valuable. She's far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good, not harm, all the days of her life. So, the heart of her husband trusts in her. Back in the Middle East during this time, men had a custom of they would actually keep their wealth and riches and things like that in the home locked up. And only they could unlock those riches. Only they could do the spending usually. But not so in this household. Look at this man. The heart of her husband trusts in her. And he will have no lack of gain. Because he trusts her, it's actually beneficial to him too. She does him good, not harm, all the days of her life. So to sum it up, I think these first three verses, she's faithful. She's faithful to this man. She's rare. She's like a jewel. She's trustworthy. And he knows that he benefits from her. But why? She's doing him good and not harm. She's faithful. Guys, it's very, what's the word I'm looking for here? It's so great and so good when you have a relationship with husband and wife where you absolutely trust each other. Absolutely. I know that if I'm ever gone for a long time, I can trust Amy. Totally. There's never a thought that comes into my head, ever. I wonder if she's talking to whoever. I wonder if when she went here, if never she's shown herself to be trustworthy, faithful to me alone. She doesn't do things that make me say, hey. And she even, this is funny. She's even apologized for dreams. She was like, there's this guy in my dream, and I kind of thought he was cute, and I'm sorry. And it's like, it was just a dream. He's not even real. But that's how faithful she is. Men that don't even exist. But no, seriously, take away from this, women, that if you're ever doing something that causes the man you love, to think, that needs to be cut off. And be above reproach, even if something's happening and you think, this might be frowned upon by my husband. He might think this. Let me just rest this assured. Let me just say, hey, this is coming up. This is, but don't worry. And don't do things that might make him say, why was this happening? Just cut all that off. Show yourself to be faithful. Because you would want that in return, correct? From him. So be faithful. And show yourself trustworthy. Do him no harm. Do him good all the days of her life, it says. How else is she shown here in relationship with her husband? Look at verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. What does that mean? Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders. Back then, important things happened at the gates. The gates of the city were where the important people would gather, the elders. Remember in the book of Ruth in the Old Testament, Boaz wants to go and basically speak with the kinsman redeemer about, hey, do you want Ruth or can I marry her? Because you have first rights to her technically. And where does he go? He goes to the gates of the city to speak with the elders about Ruth. And all that goes on at the gates. I don't know, think of it like maybe the courthouse or something like that. It's just where the important happenings happened. And the important people gathered there. And so this man, her husband, it's understood here. Why is he known at the gates? Because of his wife. He's got this great reputation among the other elders, among the important people of the land, not so much here because of himself, according to the context, but because of his wife. You know this just as well as I do. A man can be brought up or brought low because of his wife. You absolutely know that. And of course, it goes the other way in marriage too. I'm not just saying it's all one-sided. But you know this. This man is praised in the gates because of her. And women, you can be that for your husband too. You can be so great that people think your husband's even better than he would be otherwise. When he sits among the elders, he's known. What else in her relationship to her husband? Look at verse 28. I know it seems like I'm jumping around, but I want to keep the subjects together here. Look at verse 28 also, relationship with husband and children here. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. So her children say, "You're the best." And her husband says, "You're the best." But we actually get quotation marks here of what he says. This is the only time in this poem that we actually get quotation marks, like someone saying this to her. And it comes right after it says her husband also, and he praises her. Then verse 29, we get what he says to her. Look what it says in verse 29. "Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all." Ladies, you know full well that when your husband just looks right into your eyes and says something like that, you just melt. You love that. A lot of women really feed off what we call words of affirmation. You've heard of the five love languages, right? Gary Chapman, I think, wrote it. That's one of the love languages. And a lot of women do feed off that. And the husband says to her, "Many women have done excellently, but you're better than all of them." Don't you want to hear that? So now, what would make him praise her like that? What makes this woman so excellent? What makes women excellent in general? Now let's go back to the beginning. We looked at verses 10, 11, and 12. Those talked about husband-wife relationship, her being faithful. And then we looked at the other ones that also talked about that relationship with the husband. So now let's go back to verse 13 where we left off then and see now what's the flow of thought. We're going to see that she works. This woman is a hard worker. And we're going to see what she does in this work. We start off with her working to provide for her household. And what I don't mean is like she goes out and gets a job and makes money. I mean she's in the household working to make that household very great. And so look what it says here in verse 13. She works, she seeks wool and flax. What's flax? It's actually a plant. And they would use the fibers from this plant to make things like blankets or sheets, even underclothing. It was thinner than wool. But she seeks this wool and she seeks this flax. She goes after she tries to find the best. I want to seek it. I want to get the good stuff. And works with willing hands. She wants to do this. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. So now verse 14 is a simile. A simile uses like or as when comparing things. So it's saying, hey, this is what you're like. You're like when I stand at the shore and I see a ship coming in from a merchant. And I get excited because I say, oh, it's going to have good stuff on it. I wonder what it's going to be. It's bringing something good in. You guys, we don't really live in a culture where the market runs out of things and that you have to go without for a little while. And then you say, oh, look, new stuff at the market. yay, or oh, I wonder what it's going to be. We don't live in a society like that, but that's how a lot of the rest of the world lives. I can recall, again, when we were missionaries, stores would run out of things on market days when something wasn't in season, a certain plant or whatever, or a certain vegetable or fruit wouldn't be at the market. And we'd get excited when one of the vendors would have that spice again or that fruit again. And we'd say, yay, look, this is back. Well, again, just like that excitement of, oh, this ship's bringing something good. This excellent woman, you can expect that from her. She brings good things with her hands. She is making things for the family. She's seeking good things. How can I make this thing and be a blessing with my hands? That's making her excellent. And then look at verse 15. She rises while it is yet night, provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. Any of you have a... My granny did this. I remember her getting up early in the morning and making fresh homemade biscuits. I mean, early. It was still dark. She's in there, flour, dough, cutting it, all that, baking it. And she did it willingly. She was singing when she was making food. Why? It was her joy. She loved to provide good food for the family. I know my wife does that too. It's the strangest thing because I don't really get the same fillip of joy when I make food for the family. When I'm making food for the children, it's just practical. It's like, you need food to live, so I'm going to make this food for you. Sit down and eat it. Don't make a mess because I don't want to clean it up. And then get ready for bed later. I'm just trying to keep them alive. Amy, I've seen it in her face before. She'll cook something, and she's either brought to great joy or, like Anne of Green Gables uses this phrase, the depths of despair. She's either brought to the depths of despair based on whether or not we liked the food. Really? Really? My children, I've said these words before. You're going to think I'm bad. I don't really care if you like it. Just eat it. Okay, I've said that. Okay? Amy, if we don't like it, she doesn't feel good. But if she sees us all going, babe, this is so good, she gets really happy. Why? That's in her. And you women, that's in you. You want to, maybe cookies are not your thing, but you create something. And it makes you happy when you see that that's enjoyed, when that's loved. Am I right? Seeing some heads nodding. This is also what makes you excellent when you do that willingly. She rises early to make sure that I'm doing this for my family. Now, they had to rise early back then. You couldn't just do Pop-Tarts and put them in the toaster, and they pop out in a minute, and they're done. She had to rise early if they wanted breakfast. And so she's rising early to work for her household. We also see her working for her household in verse 19. It says she puts her hand to the distaff, or distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. A distaff was this, okay, it's a stick, and it's got a bunch of wool on the top, wool that nothing's been done to it yet. And the spindle was held in the other hand. And the distaff, they would pull the wool straight and then make yarn or thread and then spin it up here on the spindle. And so she puts her hand to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. So basically she's making yarn from wool. Why? So she can make something for her family. That's the idea here. She is working to meet the needs of the household, and this brings her joy. One of the things that makes her excellent. Verses 21 and 22, look at these, because these also talk about her working to provide for the household. verses 21 and 22. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. It's cold, winter's coming. She's like, we're good. Why are we good? Because I made warm clothing. I made sure that my children have the clothing that they need. Again, in this area, I'm just practical. I mean, my mom would have shot me dead on Sunday morning if I would have tried to put on a Star Wars t-shirt and wear it to church. She'd be like, that ain't happening. I don't really care. As long as they're not naked when they come to church, I don't care. And Amy's not as big on that either, but she does want them to have nice clothes. She goes and hunts and tries to find good clothing so the children have exactly what they need. And it, again, that makes her happy to know the closet's full of exactly the clothes that they need. She knows where the jackets are for winter. She knows where to get them. I think they're in the attic. I'm not 100% sure where she keeps them. But that's a big deal for her. She wants to know children are taken care of with their clothes. It brings her joy because she's taking care of the needs of her family. And listen, ladies, and I don't think this is such a problem for any of you ladies, but don't let the world feed you this bill of goods that you find your greatest fulfillment in a career, climbing that corporate ladder and being on top. If you've got a career, I'm not downing you at all. I'm just saying you're being fed that. And the truth is, you find your greatest fulfillment, you will find your greatest joy providing for those that you love in this way. Maybe you're single. Okay, there's still people that you love that you can help and provide for and things like that. But you find your greatest joy being a good wife, a good mother. Those things will bring you fulfillment. And if you're not blessed to be a wife or a mother, maybe ever, you can still find joy and fulfillment through adopting others to be that for and to do that for. You can. So don't let the world fool you. God's word is true. And remember, women, also remember what you were made for in the first place. Adam needed a helper. That's why you're here. God made you to be a helper. And so be that helper. And mimic this woman here, and you'll be excellent according to the word of God. Help. Her children rise up and call her blessed. We heard one more. Hang on one second. Verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She looks well to the ways of her household. She is kind of like basically queen of the household. She takes care of it. It's got what it needs. Everything it needs, she says, check. We've got this, we've got that. Don't worry, I'm taking care of that. This household is functioning well because of me. I'm looking well to the ways of this household. And does not eat the bread of idleness. She's not lazy. She works, and she works hard. We're going to see here in just a second. She works really hard. She's strong, even, we're going to see. So 11 and a half of these 22 verses make a reference to this woman working in some way. We looked at the ones where she's working for her household. What else is she working for? She actually also works to bring in a little bit of money for the family. Did you notice that? Whenever we were reading this text, she considers a field and buys it. In verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. So she's thinking about, what can I do to help get some more income for this family? She says, hey, look, there's a field over there for sale. She buys it. Hey, we can grow things on that. So again, she is thinking about bringing things in for the family, bringing things in for the household. You wives, if you have a job, I don't think that's bad. I don't. But remember, your greatest happiness, your greatest fulfillment will be found in the home. Unless you think, he's old-fashioned, that guy up there. No, I'm just saying what the scripture says here. You will find your greatest joy in the home. My sister, before she had her daughter, my niece, she was a microbiologist. She got the brains. Okay, she's the scientist, okay? And she is so smart. Thankfully, she doesn't wear it on her sleeve. She's very godly and she's smart. But then she had a daughter. And everything changed. And she got her bachelor's, her master's to get this career. And she had it for a long time. Then she had a daughter. And now she stays at home with her daughter. And she homeschools her. And you know what? She's so, so glad she does. She does not want to go back to being a scientist. She just loves teaching science to her daughter now. And she's so much happier. She's so thankful. So I don't think it's wrong for outside employment to happen. I'm just saying what the text says here. The excellent wife looks first and foremost to the ways of the home. To the ways of the home. Look at verse 18. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. Save your spot here in Proverbs. Turn with me to Acts 16. Acts 16. Save the spot in Proverbs, though. Acts is the fifth book in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. So in Acts 16, we're going to find this woman named Lydia. Lydia is only mentioned very briefly, but we learn a little bit about Lydia here and about why I think she's also one of these excellent women. Acts 16, verses 13 through 15. Acts 16, verses 13 through 15. Paul and Barnabas go to this area and called Macedonia, and they're trying to spread the gospel. And so they go to this place where they think there's going to be a prayer meeting, and they find women at this spot. And one of these ladies' name is Lydia. Listen to this text, verses 13 through 15. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul, and after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. Notice it says she was a seller of purple goods. You've got the old King James, it just says, seller of purple. I remember that. Purple was a very expensive color to make back then. There was a long process that you had to do with certain plants, and just cost a lot to buy anything that was purple. She must have mastered the technique. It's funny, Lydia, and it says a seller of purple goods. That's just kind of what she was known for. So when we see in verse 18 of our text back in Proverbs, she perceives that her merchandise is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. She's selling something. She's made something and she's selling it just like Lydia did in the book of Acts. Her lamp does not go out at night. You know what that means? She had enough money to buy oil. The lamp does not go out at night. They don't have to worry about there not being enough oil because she was so resourceful and added to the family, they had extra. And so Lydia The Lord opens her heart to believe, it says. She's baptized. And then notice after that, it says her and her household. Her faith spread to the household. She invites Paul and Barnabas over to the house. Prevailed upon them, it says. She's basically like, no, you're coming over and we're going to feed you and you're going to stay with us. So obviously had a large enough house to host these two men. She's one of these excellent women. Let's look something also at what these excellent women are like. So I ended there in verse 18. We're back in Proverbs now. I ended there in verse 18 where it says she perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hand to the distaff and her hands to the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. Women, you know another thing that makes you excellent? If you're generous. Generous women are excellent women. Have you ever been around... You know, it's funny. Did you know that a lot of theft that happens in these retail stores and other stores is done by women? I was shocked. I like watching these reality shows and cop shows and things like that. A lot of the theft reported in these stores is done by women. Greedy women. Now, men still too, of course. But I was shocked at the number of women that stole too. I just didn't think that. Greedy women. Just want me, me, me. Isn't it beautiful to see women give, give, give? Very generous, generous women. It makes them great. She opens her hands to the poor, reaches out her hands to the needy. If you still have your spot in Acts, I'm going to turn to Acts 9 now. There's a very generous woman in the book of Acts who actually died. Acts 9:36 is where I'm going to be. Her name was Tabitha. She's also called Dorcas in the text. But in Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 36, we hear about this woman who Peter raises back to life. And in verse 36 of Acts chapter 9, now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. Women, do you want that to be like your legacy? Do you want people to know you for that? Full of acts of good works and charity. Would that make you happy if people knew you for that? When people knew you as, she's always giving. She's just so giving. Just so generous. All the time. Would that make you feel good? Do you think that's what God wants for you? Verse 37, in those days she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, please come to us without delay. So Peter rose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him weeping. And look at this, showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them. So they were showing off to Peter even. Look what she made. Look how good she is at this stuff. Look at this beautiful thing that she made that she was going to just give away to someone. And what happens? Verse 40, Peter puts them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. She's known for her good works. I mean, after she's dead, they're showing, look what she left behind. Look what she was going to give. They were probably even going to give these away after she died. Do you, women, I know you want to leave that behind after you're gone? Don't you want to leave something behind after you're gone? Excellence, even after you're dead? Something that even after you're dead, people can still say, look at this. Remember this about her? She was known for this. And it not be something that's vain? I mean, I've seen a lot of jewelry left behind after an older woman died. Look at all this jewelry she had. Okay. Awesome. A bunch of fancy rocks. I mean, is that really what you want to leave behind? Fancy, shiny rocks? Or do you want to leave behind, you know what, once she had all this jewelry, and she sold it all, and she gave the money away. Remember when Grandma did that? I mean, wouldn't that be awesome instead? I do. And so she's generous to the poor, this excellent woman, just like Tabitha was. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable and uses that for the good of her family, just like Lydia did. Did you know in all these verses, all 22 of them, only half of one verse, half of one verse mentions what she looked like? Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't care what you look like. And of course, the text isn't saying that either. But the emphasis here is not on her looks. Half of one verse. You want to see it? Look at verse 22. This is back in Proverbs. She makes bed coverings for herself. Then secondly, her clothing is fine linen and purple. This woman in this poem, if she's even real, I'm not sure if this is based on a real woman or not. We don't know for sure, but it is inspired scripture. She's not poor. She's wealthy, but she's also generous, we see. So this wealthy Middle Eastern woman, she's got fine linen and purple. I told you purple was an expensive fabric to make. So she's got nice clothing, but that's all that's mentioned. Boom. Linen, purple. That's it, the end. That's it. I know you want to look pretty, and you should want to look pretty. It's in you to want to look pretty, women. And I don't think you should not spend time making yourself look pretty. But that's not the main focus of your life. It's not. The main focus of your life is giving to others, working hard to be a blessing to others. If you do get the blessing of being a mom and a wife, giving to your household, making your household better, that's the focus here. So that's we see what's coming from her hand. She's making things. We see what her husband thought of her. See that she's working even to give a little bit of extra to the family. That's not her main focus, though, but a little extra. She's generous to the poor. She does have nice clothes. And she's got a little extra money, so she got a few nice things for herself. Not a sin. Now, what about this? Verse 26. What's coming out of her mouth? I just got a new job recently. I was working in a Christian environment before at Lifeway. Now I have a different job. It's not a Christian environment. And even some of the women there have just filthy language. It's shocking when I hear a man cuss even. I'm like, oh, wow. Whoa. But then when you hear the women do it too, you're like, ooh, that's ugly. It's just ugly. So what's coming out of her mouth? Excellent women, what should be coming out of your mouths? Well, let's look at it and see. This is the only verse where we get to hear what's coming out of the excellent woman's mouth. Verse 26 of Proverbs 31. She opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. So when she opens her mouth, it's a wise saying. She shows that she's wise. You've been around some people before that I was around a guy once, just kind of across the room. I thought, oh, he looks smart. He looks, I think, is he the boss or whatever? And then he opened his mouth and I started talking and I was like, oh, he's definitely not. And maybe that's happened with you with women before too, right? That there's people that look one way, then they open their mouth and you're like, ooh, that's what you're really like. That's how you know what someone's really like. Not so much what's on the outside, but what's coming out of their mouth. That's what they're really like. And so women, when you open your mouth, it's beautiful when there's wisdom there. It's beautiful. It's not ugly. It's beautiful. Let wisdom be on your tongue. And it also says in teachings of kindness as well. I think most of us can say your mom was usually more kind than your dad, right? When it comes to certain things. I remember, it's not always the case. I went to Bible college with a guy and he once told me, oh no, I was way more scared of my mom than my dad. But I know for my mom, she only yelled at me once that I can recall. I mean, like yelled at me, like finger in the face yelling at me. But that's because I was in the car alone and I put the car in reverse and it started rolling down the driveway and she had to run and jump in and save the day. And she yelled at me for that. Well, she should have, right? I was a kid. It wasn't last week. But she was kind. And she had kindness on her tongue. Teachings of kindness. Not only did she talk kindly, she taught how to be kind. Teachings of kindness, it says. She has something she wants to benefit. She has something she wants to give you, not just with her hands, but also with her mouth too. Teachings of kindness, and she's wise. So her work ethic, her appearance, her speech, we've gone over all that already. And we saw what her husband said about her. You surpass all these women. Now look at verse 30. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So the main thing that makes a woman excellent is that she fears the Lord. I have so much respect for women who, because they fear the Lord, it affects the way they talk, it affects the way they spend their money, and especially affects the way they dress. And it just flows out into all these areas in her life. And you can tell she fears the Lord. He's important to her. She's not so caught up in beauty and charm. She knows those things are going away. Sure, they're important to her. They're important to all of us. None of us stand in the mirror and say, good, I look ugly. Let me go outside and face the day. Now, we try to make ourselves presentable. That's good. But she knows that's not number one. She knows God's number one. She fears the Lord. Let's talk about now another woman that feared the Lord. Hold your spot there. Turn to Luke 1. Luke chapter 1. Let's look at another young lady that feared the Lord and was praised for it. Mary. Let's talk about young Mary. This angel appears to her, says, don't fear. You'll give birth to a son. You shall call his name Jesus. How can this be? I've never known a man. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, overshadow you. And she believes. Then the angel says, also, your relative Elizabeth is also pregnant. Mary goes and visits Elizabeth when Elizabeth hears her greeting, the baby within her womb leaps. That's John the Baptist. And Elizabeth says to her, "Blessed are you, for you believe the words of the Lord." And then Mary delivers something that we call the Magnificat. And it's called the Magnificat because in Latin, this section of Scripture starts off with that word, Magnificat. Mary here says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." In Latin, the order of the words are, "Magnifies my soul the Lord." So it starts with that Latin word, Magnificat. So if you ever hear anyone talking about the Magnificat, they're talking about this part of Scripture in Luke chapter 1, verse 46 through 56. So Luke 1, 46 through 56 is where we're going to be. And remember, we're on the topic of the woman fearing the Lord. That making you excellent. So we believe Mary was not very old, like probably a teenager, maybe upper teens, maybe 18, we don't know, but we don't believe she was in her 20s or 30s by any means. So imagine these words that I'm about to read to you coming from an 18-year-old or a 17-year-old. Listen to this. Verse 46, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those in humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever.'" And Mary remained there with them about 3 months, it says. Wow. I want to find a 17-year-old that talks like that. It's like, where'd you come from, young lady? If you study this, the Magnificat, tons of references to the Old Testament, to the Psalms, very similar in some of the speech to what Sarah said in the Old Testament. Sarah was Samuel's mommy. Remember, she couldn't have a baby, and she prays. And Eli sees her and thinks she's drunk and says, "Hey, what are you doing?" And she says, "No, I'm just here praying for a baby." And she says, "If I have one, I'm going to give him to the Lord's service." And the Lord answers her prayer. And when he does, she delivers this speech of thanks. So a lot of what she says mimics that too. This young lady, was very, very saturated with Scripture. She knew the Bible. She must have appreciated it and read it a lot. Her family probably as well. You don't just talk like this out of nowhere. This came from somewhere. Where did it come from? She loved the Word of God. It was important to her because God was important to her, which is why she found grace in His eyes. To have Jesus, to birth Jesus Christ, to raise Jesus. That's favor, wouldn't you say? God has shown us all favor by giving us Jesus through a woman. Women, if you want to be excellent, just like I told the men, the first step to excellence is being a godly woman, making sure that your sins have been dealt with. This Jesus, who was born of a woman, never sinned, walked the path of God in perfection. Maybe you're a woman in here and you're thinking, "Yeah, like Cohen said, I'm nowhere close to this lady." No, you're not. No, you're not. Even Mary at the beginning of the Magnificat says in verse 17, "And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." So, that tradition that's not scriptural that says Mary was sinless. Oh, really? Then why does she need a Savior? Even Mary was a sinner, just like you and just like me. We all need Jesus Christ. He's the one who took the punishment for sinners that he did not deserve. He willingly chose it. He prayed to the Father and said, "Not my will, but yours be done." Went to the cross, willingly shed his blood and died to take the punishment for sinners. And you can have forgiveness of sins. Why? Because he rose from the dead. The price was paid. So, if you feel far, far away from this woman and far, far away from God in general, the first step is repentance. Come to God through the Son and be saved. If you're already in Christ and we're going through this and you're saying, "Yeah, I'm not maybe as faithful to my husband as I should be in my thoughts," or maybe in your life. Or, you know, this woman, it says she works and she's not idle. I struggle with laziness. Or, yeah, you know, only half a verse focuses on her appearance. So apparently it's not super duper important. You know, my appearance is way too important to me. I've got that off. Or her speech, wisdom, teachings of kindness. Okay, you know, my speech is not great. My speech is kind of ugly, like Cohen was talking about. God pricking your heart about any of these things, ladies? Okay. Then ask God to forgive you and help you. He helps sinners. The Bible says a broken and contrite heart, he will not turn away. Not measuring up, join the club, okay? But there's hope for you if you know you need help. If I'm reading this and you're going, "Yep, that. Yep, got that down. Mm-hmm, do that." I'm not learning anything here, Cohen. I'm actually better than her. Then I would say, pride comes before a fall, young lady. So, these principles are good for you, ladies. These principles, there's even some principles here that are good for the guys, too. I mean, I just have to confess, there's some things here that are even good for the guys. But your relationship with your husband, or if you're not married, okay, store this away for a future husband. If you're already past that point, husband has passed away, and you're just looking forward to seeing him in heaven, okay, then pass down this knowledge to the younger ladies then. Paul even says, let the older women teach the younger women. Don't just store up all that wisdom that you've got, and you let it come out to the younger women, ladies, then. So faithful to the husband, working to provide for the home. Listen, you will find your greatest fulfillment taking care of the home. Don't let the world lie to you, ladies. You will. You will. Maybe it's not that time yet, but you will. Appearance, don't be so focused on that. Be more focused on being generous to others. And then lastly, look at this, verse 31, and then we end here. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. What she does goes before her to the gates, where all the important stuff happens. So when she walks through the gates, the people say, "There she is. You know that one I was telling you about? That's her. That's her. You know the one I was telling you about who's so generous? That's her. You know the one who I was telling you about who's so wise? That's the one. You know the one who I was telling you about, who her husband's kind of rotten, but she kind of makes up for it because she's so awesome? That's the one, or what have you. Her works are praising her in the gates." Notice it doesn't say her looks. It doesn't say her money. Her works are praising her in the gates. Women, be known for these acts that you do that are excellent. They'll show that God's excellence is in you and coming out through you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for godly women. Thank you that you, God, make us godly. I don't want any of us to think that this is something that can be accomplished on our own. This is all through dependence upon you. So help us to be humble and lean upon you. Lord, I pray for the women in this room. Please help them to take away, even if it's just one thing, just one area where you have pricked their conscience, where you have maybe stirred something in them to be excellent. Those are the ones that are praised in the gates. Amen.
Would you stand and let's sing together?